against Convention and MPs to debate three proposals on a ceasefire. It had been tabled by the SNP.
The usual ways in which Parliament works were changed. Now, my understanding is that the Speaker has apologised for what happened and is reflecting on that. But I think the important point here is that we should never let extremists intimidate us into changing the way in which Parliament works.
More than 60 MPs have signed a motion of no confidence in Sir Lindsay. The Scouts have been referred to police following an inquest into the death of a 16-year-old boy. Ben Leonard fell 200 feet off a cliff while on a trip with the group to North Wales in 2018. The mother of Russia's opposition leader, Alexei Navalny, says she's finally seen his body a week on from his death. But Lyudmila Navalnaya claims officials are trying to blackmail her into holding a private burial. A minister says exonerating guilty people is a price worth paying to resolve the post office scandal. The government set out details of legislation which will automatically overturn convictions of sub-postmasters who meet certain criteria. A spacecraft the size of a telephone box will attempt to make the US moon landing in over half a century this evening. It's heading to the lunar South Pole, where scientists hope to find billions of gallons of water. Our science correspondent Thomas Moore says the landing itself will be tricky.
Because it is doing it by itself. It is using its own cameras. It's using experimental laser guidance systems to bring itself down to a slow enough speed that everything is okay, that doesn't topple over.
And the world's oldest dog's been stripped of his Guinness World Record after doubts about his age. To have been 31 when he died last year. The latest, I'm Silver.
This is Phoenix FM. Phoenix FM.
Upcoming album called Country. That was the Elliot track called Wind and Snow. The band originate from Toronto in Canada, and most fans will subgenre their music in deaf country because of their heavy metal influence that they incorporate into their taste of country music. You'll listen to Night Shift on Phoenix FM, your weekly dose of country music, each and every Thursday night, 10 p.m. until midnight. Got quite a mixture of music planned for the show tonight. There's been a lot of new releases for both albums and singles this week. Priscilla Block has just released a new track called Good On You. We'll be playing that later. There have also been some non-country artists making some great this week. One artist in particular, though, who really caught my ear this week. She's just released her first country album. The artist's name is Dasha. The album name is What Happens Now. She is, I think, a great example of a pop artist who has seemingly transitioned and has created her strongest work. She'll be featuring on the Night Shift at roughly 10:30 p.m. tonight. It really does seem that country music's cool again, doesn't it, Sam? Yeah. Don't you agree, Lainey?
The way I sung my mama's jeans, short looking like a bum. In a metro city crowd, oh me, oh my, how things have changed. And I can't believe my eyes these days. Everybody wanna be a cowboy, drive a jumbo with a John Deere. Everybody wanna backwards farm. A piece of land, start saying things like hell no, hot damn. Down.
likes a tall drink of 6'5", and every preacher says that she's held down. Who we need to up in the backwoods. Taught me everything I know. Always in the hell with the jack and coat. Stays in trouble. Takes trouble. It don't matter if it stay wrong. Just like smoke, she's here and gone. Louisiana left the trail through Atlanta. Made her way to Savannah. Spent a few nights in a dream motel. She got a tank of gas, box packed. Hit the highway in a pink Cadillac. Roam around town, she was last seen. Sipping on a pole down in Orleans. Louisiana, brought up in the backwoods. Taught me everything I know. Always in the head was a jack and coke. Stays in trouble, takes shots by the devil.
Hey man, look, don't let her get none of these.
I said, oh, no, Isabel, I won't let you run from this one. Yeah.
That was Shaboozy with Annabelle there. The song there addresses Shaboozy's reluctancy to let someone go before they accept the responsibility that they've made in a relationship, the damage there. Sung with a slight Post Malone approach to country music, I think, there, concerning the instrumentation that was playing under those lyrics. Quite a lot of pop and hip-hop stars are becoming born-again country singers, it seems, this year and last year. Post Malone having worked with Hardy and a lot on the Joe Diffie-inspired Hicks tapes. I mentioned earlier on the show that I'll be talking with special guest later on this evening. She is an artist who previously just released her first full country project. You recognise her name and her track called Austin, which is trending right now on TikTok. She's created a great line dance to go along with that track. And of course, coming up on the show, we'll be addressing every and all opinions concerning Beyoncé's new track called Texas Hold'em. In the meantime, though, let's play some Emily Zeck for you all. This is Emily Zeck with Trailer Park Tahiki Bar.
Two stoplights past a rundown old McDonald's. Keep your eye out for the faded neon sign. You won't need a reservation, 'cause I ain't never seen that far with a line. Run, good time. He's dodging bullets left and right. Behind the Walmart sipping $2 mine. From the trailer park. Top shelf. Cause Tammy keeps the liquor on the bar. Falls in for the fancy. But I've always liked umbrellas in my mores. I love this. Everybody's welcome. It don't matter if you're rich or poor. When everything costs $1,000, you can drink yourself right down to the floor. Tell the lies.
sure your chain hung over in a pew. Good on you,
good on you.
She probably don't cuss, ain't got a single tattoo. Good on you,
good on you.
Bet she's more uptown than she is downtown. Bet she don't get loud, bet your mom's damn proud. I was something you had to shake loose. Good on you. But I'm back in those shorts that you said were trashy. Good on me, they look good on me. Never liked uptown, always loved downtown. Saying that out loud's making me damn proud. You were just something I had to shake loose. Did my best.
California, but she's soon to be the princess of Nashville. American artist Dasha joins me tonight on The Night Shift to discuss her new album called What Happens Now. Good evening, Dasha. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Thanks so much for having me.
Really, I've been really looking forward to the upcoming album because King of California, it was one of the first tracks of yours I heard. It was a track that was released last year, but what was actually the inspiration behind that track?
Well, so you've heard Austin, right?
Yeah.
Assuming. So there's a line in Austin. The last line of the chorus goes, "In 40 years, you'll still be here, drunk, washed up in Austin." And I had just written Austin. That was one of the first songs I wrote on the album. And I heard that. I was thinking about that line. And I was like, wow, this is a really cool opportunity to write a song that's kind of like the sequel to that whole storyline. Like, well, what happens after 40 years when he's still drunk, washed up in Austin? Like, what happens to me? And so I kind of wrote King California, the perspective of 40 years later. And my perspective in that song is like, you know, I moved on to California. I'm living my life. But still, like, not even the sun compares to you. Like, still, I just can't get you out of my head. And the last verse of King California is me going back to Austin and finding the guy.
So, yeah. So like you just said there's that really nice, interesting link between King of California and Austin. Obviously, in that kind of almost 40-year timeline. So when you went into the writing session, King of California, was it with that initial idea that you wanted to have that kind of concept?
I actually wrote the melodies for the verse and the chorus the night previous myself in my room, because I knew I had a session with Lewis Castle the next day, and I love writing with him. I wrote What Happens Now with him, I wrote King California with him, Talk of the Town, and a couple songs off my last record. And I really liked this melody, but I wasn't really sure what I wanted to say yet. And Lewis and I were just kind of chatting, and I was talking about Austin, and I was super excited about that song. And I really wanted this album cohesive, like, one storyline. And I was like, oh my god, this is such a cool opportunity to continue the storyline. Because I felt like I had more to say about the situation with Austin, you know? Like, Austin's just the peak of it. It's just, like, the breakdown of it. But I feel like all the songs in the album just kind of fit together in, like, one flow. And, King California was just the perfect one to have after.
Now, one thing I don't think a lot of our listeners will know is that you actually freestyle the chorus of Austin. Is that for songwriting, or was you kind of just in the zone that day?
Yeah, honestly, a lot. My brain works to melodies. I have a lot of song concepts, like, written down in my notes, and a lot of lyrics and stuff, but usually when I'm starting off a session, I really try to get the vibe going. I hate that word, but I don't know what else to call it. Like, the literal, like, feeling of the music. I want to feel like how I want to express myself. And I just kind of, Adam Windler, who was playing guitar in that session, started playing the chords to Austin. And I kind of knew the feeling I wanted. I wanted that angry outlaw Miranda Lambert type vibe. And I don't know, I just started singing. And I must actually post a video on TikTok about me freestyling it. I broke it down with my producer because we were just like, that was the coolest moment ever, because the whole room just like went silent because we were like, that's it. We got to write that.
Bring your guitar and Jane was in. First thing you told me, hear the songs and we could go. Brought you on home, waited on the porch for you. Sat there alone, all throughout the morning till I got a hunch down in my gut and snuck around the back. Empty cans and I'll be damned, yours was never packed. Did your boots stop working? Did your truck break down? Did you burn? I'm sure you lost it. Didn't even say goodbye. Just wish I knew what caused it. Was the whiskey flowing? Were you in the fight? Did the nurse come get you? What's your alibi? I'm in a way back to LA, and that's where you'll be forgotten. In 40 years, you'll be here. Don't wash up in Austin.
Has this movie-like visual to go alongside it on Spotify. Even though you have a USM radio microphone, which is obviously paying homage to the Grand Ole Opry. Were all filmed in Nashville?
Let's see. No. King California was filmed in California, in LA. I kind of wanted to keep it, because the whole album, one of the themes is going back from Nashville to LA, Nashville to LA. Like 42 and Talk of the Town is about, you know, and whatnot. And I wanted to keep the visuals really central to like what I was feeling, and Austin, I just needed to be like super honky tonky, and like that's actually at this place called American Legion, and it has this like whole, I mean you see it in the visualizer, but it has the whole light up background of American flag. But yeah, that microphone, I actually didn't even realize it was the same one as the one at Operate. It was just there at the honky tonk that we were filming at. And my creative director was just like, oh my God, wait, we have to use this microphone. And I didn't realize that until like a couple takes in. I'm like, wait, this is the microphone that they use. I'm like, this is so cool. So I'm really glad I had that like Nashville wink into it because I live there right now.
All right, so you live in Nashville at the minute. Obviously, that's mm-hmm. For a lot of people. What are some of your favorite things about Nashville?
The people there are so kind. I like going to Nashville because it's a way slower pace than L.A., and that's where I've been for the past 2 years. And so being in Nashville, you kind of get to breathe and like your writes are done. Your songwriting sessions are done by like 5 people at home to their kids. And it's like there the music industry feels more than 9 to 5, which has its perks for sure. I think I kind of miss the hustle that LA has.
Yeah.
And that's why I find myself back here literally every 2 weeks, because I just love that hustle culture out here and always having something to do. And you know, I'm 23 and I want to just get my nose in everywhere and do things, and it's fun out here. But I love Nashville so much.
Now, compared to your previous singles, you had previous songs like Don't Mean a Thing and Eyeliner, even your album which I would say and a major pivotal genre shift from synth pop to country. Why did you decide to make this choice?
So it actually came about in a moment of distress. I just put Dirty Blonde out last January, and I don't know, there's something about the music that I just didn't feel like it was more when I was connected, and I loved it, but upon releasing it and having to play shows, I was just like, why do I not feel connected to this music? And as someone who's been writing songs since I was 10, I'd never really experienced that before, and that's how I knew. I was like, something needs to switch up. Like, something's got to change. And it was actually my brother's ex-girlfriend, and I was driving in the car with her, and I was playing country because that's all I ever listened to. And she was like, hey, what if you made country music? I was like, goodbye. No, I'm not doing that. And then I was like, wait, why am I being so apprehensive about this? And I took a deep dive and I thought about it and I was like, wow, all country is three chords and the truth, right? And I've been doing that since I was 10. Like, all I know is how to write a song on guitar. That's where all my songs come from, is they start on guitar with me singing. And I was like, what if I just like go back to how real it was, like just real again? And that's kind of all the genre switch was, just that pop production and just like writing the realest song I could. And the album was making it. And it was so fun and artistically rewarding writing this album because I felt so connected to everything, and I knew that people were going to really love it, and that's what like really made me happy. So I could tell people were going to connect to what I was trying to say.
Who would you then say are some artists that you then connect with? Who are some current country artists that you're listening to at the minute?
Well, Kacey Musgraves is one of the reasons I ever started writing. Same Trailer, Different Park, that album. Chef's Kiss.
Love. Really good album. Yeah.
So good, right? Oh my God. That girl knows how to tell a story. Noah Kahan, love him. Zach Bryan. Zach Bryan's like the tone of his music really inspired like me getting so raw and real with it. Like even the way he like records his songs,
yeah.
How he does it like literally on like an outside recorder sometimes. And just like plays it and sings it and then pops out on Spotify. Like that is so cool. Star right there. He's being a punk rock star right there, and I love it. Who else? Dolly Parton, of course. I just love her as, I'm really inspired by the way she shows up in the world and how unapologetically herself she is. And I feel like I've taken a lot of that attitude from her, just like growing up watching her and like how she dresses and how she, you know, answers those interview questions where dudes are like, oh, you got a fake rack. And so just like spin it on its head and, you know, make a joke about her being a dumb blonde and just like make it a lighthearted situation, yet just coming out on top still. It's like definitely country is like genre as a woman. There's two women on the charts right now in country. And I just feel like it's such a cool opportunity to, like, come in and kind of mess up a little bit, you know? Taylor Swift, Dolly, Casey Musgrave, Miranda Lambert, Carrie Underwood have really paved that way of, like, let's go be some badass women and, like, mess up these charts, you know?
Now, this album, it has a lot of bluegrass elements in it. A lot of tracks have these elements too, and then some don't. Why was it important for you to have this type of instrumentation running throughout the album?
I've always really loved, like, raw instruments. My North Star for this whole album was, like, I want these songs to sound like they could be played around a campfire. And I want that, like, real raw feeling to it. And so I just wanted to play with everything. I was like, I want to start putting banjo in my songs and, like, mandolin. And fiddle was a really big one for me. Like, those fiddles on Austin, like, I wrote those parts. Like, I knew what I wanted. I wrote the parts for King of California where the fiddle is. I just loved, like, King of California specifically. I have really cool videos of us recording the fiddle from that day. But I was, like, singing the parts I wanted, and then Ethan Moffitt recorded it for me. He was playing fiddle, and it was really fun hearing him, like, do what I was singing, and it just coming to life. And I wanted the fiddle on King California to, sorry, excuse me, to kind of, like, act like a duet to the voice.
Yeah.
And I think it did a really cool job in the verses and the choruses. And I love that song, the fiddle. It's so fun.
I think it was interesting what you were saying earlier about country music and its relationship with female artists. And a lot of female artists tend to shake up the game, like you said there. You've got Taylor Swift, you've got Dolly Parton. And I think a major person at the minute who's at the top of the country charts, Beyonce. Now, over the years, there's been a lot of mixed reactions to Beyonce's country track, Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it's like going to the States, it might be similar. And I think what the debate is that a lot of people are discussing if the track is suitable or not. How would you define country music in an ever modernizing world? Because eventually the genre's gonna have to adapt, like other genres, but what's your opinion of that?
I mean, I feel like I get a lot of hate for my music even. Not a lot. There's definitely some people lurking in my comments being like, this is not country music.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, it's like, well, what is country music? For me, it's like, sonically, is it real? Country music is like the realest music to me. Is it, I feel like it's country is when music doesn't have to, and it can just, like, live how it was written. And so, yeah, sonics, like, banjo, fiddle, mandolin, all that stuff kind of makes country to me. Like, is it three-fourths and a truth? You know, like, what is it, storytelling? Storytelling has a lot to do with country music. But it's weird because genres are kind of, like, not as important as they were once. You know, good music is just good music. And I think that's really cool that Beyonce's doing country. Like, and I love how mad people are getting. Like, it cracks me up, honestly. Like, why do you feel, like, so defensive around a genre? Like, if you don't like it, don't listen to it.
Yep. I
find, you know? It's like, what?
So dramatic over a song that they can... They
so
can
dramatic. Know. Like, it's really going to be okay, guys. Like, Jesus Christ.
Now, back to your music. Your current single from the album is a track called 42, and I know it's a song that you wrote while you was in California visiting your family, and you were counting down the days until you returned back to Nashville. The song is actually written in part about two different people, a person from your past and a person in your present. With this track, is it a track that you rewrote the ending to, or did you kind of have to put a pause on the song and revisit it later?
When I wrote the song at first, I knew that some parts were going to be rewritten, and the day I wrote the song, I kind of went into it knowing that. I just wanted to get, like, pen to paper. I recorded the a lot of the vocal and the guitar you hear on the track is actually me, what I did at my mom's house in the living room. And so, yeah, the second verse was totally rewritten because when I revisited the song a few months later in Nashville, I felt very differently about several things.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put a song out that I wanted to sing about and, like, things that were true to me. So a lot of the lyrics were switched around to be about someone else. Yes.
You ask how many more days, and I say 42, till I move back to Nashville. Too. It's strange how in November it'll be a year I'm missing you. I almost can't believe it. I get to see you soon.
more than just a visit. I'll be living 10 from you, praying that we'll pick up right where we left off in that back room. So tell all the girls you were kissing that they had a good run. It's all over and through. Tell them that your little lady's moving back to the city, and it's not that I finally get to have you in your penthouse with a bad view and my toothbrush in your bathroom. Trying to act cool until I finally get to have you. I met you in the red light, laughing like a kid. The first time that you kissed me, I cut back my innocence. Took 2 weeks till I'm leaving. Four shoes on the front porch, all makes sense. It all makes sense. If I never met you, wouldn't be alone. I'd be sleeping on your chest, not this king size alone. And we'd be more than a picture, we drew up in our heads. And I finally get to give you my best. And I tell the boys I'm kissing that they had a good run. It's all over and through. I tell them they have me almost naked in your backseat. I'ma live cause I keep laughing. I never felt this fucking happy. And now you finally get to have me.
Now, initially, when you wrote 42, you didn't write it with the intention of releasing it. For you, it was just a bit like a very therapeutic kind of song. How many songs would you say you wrote in total for this record, though?
One that I was seriously considering on this record, probably about 25, 30. Not too crazy. I felt like maybe even less, honestly. No, probably 25 is accurate. I mean, I feel like I have a really good gut sense right when I finish a song if I know it's going to be on the record. And like, even with 42, I was terrified of it. I knew like that version was going to make the record, but I knew the song was going to make the record because it was just so real. And that's what I've been preaching this whole time. Like, I just want my music to feel so real and so me. And not putting 42 on the record would just be, you know, going straight up against what I want to do with this album. And so it was a little scary, definitely, because it's a very true story. And, like, those lyrics are very, very real. But I'm really happy that people are connecting so much to that song. And honestly, outside of like Austin and King, California, 42 has been the one that people have brought up, which makes me super happy because I wrote that one in my mom's living room. Like, that's so cool.
Now, the album, it's called What Happens Now, which is the name of one of the tracks in the album. But why did you name the album after this track?
This is another song that I wrote it. I didn't really know what I wanted to write about. I just was in a really confusing spot where I was about to move to Nashville. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know if moving to Nashville was the right idea. I was having a crisis about getting older. I was having a crisis about, you know, moving houses and having to drive across the country. And I was just like going through it. And I just was kind of a mess. And I was talking to Lewis about that. And I had this title, What Happens Now, in my notes. And I had What Happens Now That We're Older. And I kind of went on blah, blah, blah about how I was like depressed and like confused, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, wait, what if we go off like what happens now? Like just go into the curiosity of like what happens now that we're blah, 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 older and blah, blah, blah. And he was playing banjo. He played his banjo. And I, once again, just kind of freestyled the chorus of that one and just kept going up and up and up. And it was like a really magical moment. That was a really special song. And I felt like that song kind of summed up where I am in life right now. Like this, you know, Austin going crazy on the internet and this album dropping and me moving to a new city. I'm just like, what happens now? Like literally what's going to happen? And I felt like that was the best way, the best track to name this whole album after, because I'm 23. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing half the time. Like I'm just kind of going for it, you know? And I know a lot of my listeners are in the same boat as that, where they're just like, I just don't know. And I'm like, me too, girl. Me too. I don't know. So.
Now we're going to play the title track for your listeners now.
Yes. Hi guys, this is Dasha, and this is my song, What Happened to Me.
Take me back to June, sky was powder blue. Even on a weekday, we'd be out till 2, driving with a view, singing out of tune. Got me so distracted, could only stare at you, you, you. How you hurt so good, but the summer's almost over. Air is getting colder, but I understood before it even happened that this would feel like magic. But now we're older, what happens now I can't control it. All my love, I should've sold it. I could've smoked it, what a road, I should've known it. What happens now, what happens now? Now we're older, golden days, it can't be over. All my love, I should've sold it. I could've smoked. You in skater shoes, racing down the hallway, screaming that I lose. And I see you soon, my flight takes off at noon. And all this overthinking, all these wasted feelings. But now we're older, what happens now I can't control it. All my love, I should've sold it. I could've smoked it, what a road, I should've known it. What happens now?
What happens now that I've listened to Dasha? What can my next steps be? While the singer is yet to announce any UK tour, just head on over to her socials. Give her a follow on Instagram at Dasha Music. You can also check out her line dancing tutorials over on her TikTok too. She's created a wonderful dance to go along with the chorus of her current hit called Austin. Be sure to tune in again next week though, where I'll be featuring UK country singer Nicole Shortland. She's been working in the music industry for about 15 years now. She's written songs for the likes of Little Mix and some K-pop artists, but when it comes to her own sound, she prefers to follow the path that leads to Guitar Town. You're listening to Night Shift on Phoenix 98 FM, your weekly dose of country music each and every Thursday night, 10 p.m. until midnight. Time now for some Reed Fulton with Long-Haired Country Boy.
Crazy as a loon, 'cause I get stoned every morning watching of it at all, but I will take another toast. And I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way that I'm living, you can leave this long-haired country boy alone. If you don't like the way that I'm living, you can leave this long-haired country boy alone.
Love. She's coming. No sooner.